too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Podcast 151, 151, 151.
Hey, wait.
That's Nirvana. Obviously, Heart Shaped Box, live and loud. I was going to do The Germs, which Pat Smear came from. Pat Smear became the fourth member of Nirvana. But I mean, it's an okay song by The Germs, but you just wouldn't get it. You'd be like, Old Man Wiley, playing us songs from the early 90s, late 80s. So what do? Play you songs from the early 90s. Golflandia 151 on the Matt Wiley Network. What's going on? Let me get this. And by the way, I think I was doing Roman reads, the ED medication, when I didn't have the read to do. So they got those free. So I really didn't need to do those reads. I just assumed it was in my portfolio. I don't think it was. So there you go. I could have said anything I wanted to. That's how smart I am, guys. DraftKings, though, we have another full weekend of golf ahead of us. And even though the trophy is... By the way, thank you to Ethan Sibutani of DraftKings Marketing, who now expanded the contest to 300 people. So you saps better fill it, because they had to pull a lot of strings. Every week we do a DraftKings contest for Golflandia, $5 single entry, guaranteed, no rake. Also, no app link. You have to go through like Facebook to log into it. But 300 people, and you've got to fill it, because you demanded it. There's always whining because you can't fill it. Well, now it's 300, and I guarantee you won't do it. So do it. And even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash prizes don't have to be. To add to the excitement, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is putting you in bold and capitalized in the center of the action with a free shot at over $1 million. Gotta credit DraftKings for every week they've given away $1 million. And if it wasn't for Tony Finau, I would have maybe 1/20th of it. It's easy to play. Just pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers that you have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Hang on a second. Finishing position. That brings me to a point. Even though you may not be able to hit the course, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use code GOLFLANIA during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at over $1 million, American dollars, in total prizes. That's code GOLFLANIA, and you can get a free shot at over $1 million in total prizes only at DraftKings.com. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I never thought about that. I guess Canadians. I'm a Canadian. But I guess if you're in Canada, you get American dollars. Sweet. But you also have to pay in American dollars. Does it convert it dollar for dollar? Like, does it say in your app $31? for a $20 entry because the dollar's so bad? I don't know. I guess I should ask someone. DJ won. That was awesome, right? That was really good. DJ's back. Make DJ great again, and I think he might be. I don't think there's many better number ones in the world than DJ when he's got his lumbering down the fairway swagger, when he's taking out his brass stones and just using driver on 18 when he doesn't need to, when he just has to avoid bogey. He doesn't care. Stripe show, center cut, center of the center cut, 309,000 yards. I think Brandon Todd, it was just, you know, he plays a different game. It's tough to be in the presence of that redwood. He's like General Sherman, the giant sequoia in California. He's a presence, and he's fearless. Like that par four that he almost went in the water, and it hung up in the rough because it was probably a little wet. Did not take a drop. Hit it 10 feet. And then chipped it to 2 feet for par. And then the other drive, when someone called ball game early, me, and we thought it was in the bag, and he hit his par five to the railroad tracks, which was strangely out of bounds, rigged. But he made it interesting, that's for sure. But DJ, brass absolute stones. Second prize, steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. I was late to the. You don't know this is late because it's not time sensitive to you, but I was helping someone respond to customer service issues with Green Square Golf. Greensquare.golf at Green Square Golf, formerly Smart Golf Bets, for all your course form, course history. All tours, all players, Euro Tour starting up, sign up to greensquare.golf. Period. Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets, and I are partners. That site now rules. It did not rule for the first couple of days, and that's why we have a lot of customer service issues. And what I said to the gentleman helping with customer service is, why don't you just play a character? Just play the paperclip from like Windows 95, even though you're human. Just respond like you're some sort of, add the paperclip GIF and just respond like you're a robot. And when they have really sensible questions, just respond, I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. Hey, why'd you charge my card 9 times? I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. Because that actually happened to a lot of people. Super nice people. We spent all our loyalty equity that day, the release of Green Square Golf. That site was hit so hard, it was a tsunami. Nathan nearly died. I nearly died. Mike just smoked like 12 more packs, an hour. Man, it got rough. And these poor people got charged like 9 times a second. I think we dinged a guy for 11 grand. Refunds on the way. Anyway, back to golf. Wyndham Clark, listen, I never listened to me Wednesday night. Sorry, never listened to me Tuesday through Wednesday in a week, especially Wednesday night after midnight. Of course, I get on my tout wagon, toot, toot, and get on Wyndham Clark. Why? Because I have a premonition. It comes in my head. Oh, Wyndham Clark. I love Wyndham Clark. Why? Because he's the only player in 2019, as if this matters, I know it doesn't, quants, that drives, that was top 10 in driving distance, maybe top 5, and top 10 in putting, strokes gained putting, maybe top 5. Now, do those two things correlate to be a good golfer? Not necessarily, but it's hella interesting. You thought maybe Cameron Champ would be that guy. Nope. But Wyndham Clark, if he ever gets his iron game sorted out, and I blame PXG, He's a handsome man, too. You should see him in the PXG ads. He's carrying four of those PXG irons in over his shoulder. And they're all three irons, and that's his problem. He's got a bag full of PXG three irons. They look good. But he did not play well. Now, like Siwoo Kim, what am I? All over him at the RBC. I'm on the Siwoo train. What did you do last week? Amazing. So Wyndham Clark this week, do I fade him at low sixes or you go right back at him? That beauty of a man. Wyndham Clark. I don't know. I'll blow it. Whatever I do, I'll blow it. I will make the wrong decision. I have to pivot the right way. Make moves, pivot. The Colin Drew way. I was saying on Twitter on the weekend, and this is what I wrote a note about in my DraftKings read. I think that Showdown Sunday, or showdowns in general, finishing positions, needs to be overhauled. I don't get it. Either the price needs to be correlated to your starting position on Sunday, or just eliminate it, or put negative value if they drop. Because number one, now it didn't matter because number one, Brendan Todd did not finish number one, Brendan Todd. But he was $8,000 and he was spotted 13 points. That's an eagle plus. But he was $8,000. Well, how do you play that? I think that if you choose the number one golfer and he's low priced, that if he goes backwards, you NASCAR this shit and it goes, you get negative return. I want a guy who's in 65th. Who shoots 58 and wins and get all the bonuses. But Colin Drew weighed in, he liked it, then he didn't like it, then he thought my point was good. And then he gave me some cool tips about pivoting. It's all about repricing. That's like the market. It's all price action. People look too macro when trading and options trading. But this and that and the other thing, it's price action. The market makers control the price. They control the volume. They will take price to where you want it, where they want it to go. If you can see their setups, you can follow it and maybe win. Find the discounts. Find the discounts in DraftKings. There are some this week. I don't know where the hell I'm going with this conversation. I will say this. Let me bring it to center here, guys. Gang, gather round, gang. I don't have a point. Oh, yeah, I celebrated early with Finau. I know that, Slappy McJokesters. He put that on Twitter. Can we talk about Wiley celebrating? I never celebrated early. I did get the screenshot because I do now have the $1 million bag screenshot because I wasn't first for about 10 seconds. But Tony Finau missing the cut really kicked me in the nuts. By the way, Kyle Stanley looks like Roger Federer. You ever see that? Go check that out. It's really funky. Lastly, who's, was it Sal Hutton on Twitter? Not Hal Sutton, but he has the name reversed, Sal Hutton. He tweeted after DJ had to wear that blue blazer with the traveler's umbrella. By the way, their CEO did a very good job. Very good job. I mean, he was a little rehearsed, maybe cue card-ish, maybe a little focused on where he was positioned on camera. This is the Jim Nantz segment on golf on CBS when the CEO comes on from the sponsor and talks about their initiatives. He did a very good job. A little too quick to thank Jim Nantz when he complimented him. A little practiced, but very bright person. Totally distracted by Jim Nance's receding hairline, which has gotten out of control, but pulled through. But the jacket that the winner has to wear, it's like a navy blazer from Sportsman's Warehouse with an umbrella on it. Sal Hutton on Twitter said, enough with the fucking blazers as a prize, which made me LOL. I agree. I mean, it's not, it's 2020. Like, there's nothing prestigious about a blue blazer. It's ridiculous. I mean, the Masters, yes. The Colonial, yes. Heritage, yes. But you don't need, you don't have to have a blazer all the time. Let's just jump into the next century with golf in that regard. In my opinion, maybe they like them. I don't know. But it's a blazer. I'd rather wear anything than a sport coat. But just give the players something. What is it? It's give the players Dockers and oven mitts. I don't know. Here's some clothes. Congrats on the trophy. There you go. Here's a blindfold and a basketball. Congrats on the win, Dustin. All right, some questions. Then we'll talk to our DK winner and Ryan Barriff. Every week I solicit topics. You send those topics on Twitter at Wiley77. Why would Fox drop golf when it could be the only sport playing possibly? I don't know. I don't know anything about Fox dropping golf. I should have prepped that question. I don't know the answer. NBC Golf Channel paying $500 million for the rights to air the U.S. Open but cannot provide more cameras on the course. Well, I think here's the reason why. A large part of the budget on the ground is paid for by the organizers of the tournament. Now, that budget has been absolutely slashed because there's no fans. No fans, no tickets, no VIP, no seating, no sponsors, no local sponsors. Part of their expenditures as organizers of the tournament, that money has to go to Golf NBC. A huge check. So they write the check to the network. At least the ones I know about do. So that money's not available anymore. I'm sure the sponsors may be taking a haircut on their contribution. So they're limited in having a million towers, a million cameras. Now I get that point. Likely. That was from bchill18_. Brandon, Daily Sports Geek. Can I borrow Barra for a non-Landia show? And is there a fee involved? No. There's no fee involved. Of course you can borrow Ryan Barra for a non-Landia show. The only fee involved is his dignity for being a traitor. Dan DiNunzio, longer shelf life, PXG or Airbnb? Tough. Maybe if you filled an Airbnb with PXGs. If Cess Peets won the... This is Charlie Cross. Charlie R. Cross, 1919. If Cess Peets won the Golf Landy DK... How many shout-outs would you let him have? I'd give him a 45-minute segment. Cess Peets should have won by 100, and he didn't. He didn't. He chopped it in second place with CRC. Collusion chopping. And that's why I didn't finish first. Flowtron, Adam Journalism. Pros, cons, Canada versus USA. I'm Canadian-American. I spend a month in Canada. They're very similar countries. I think... Canada would like to sometimes think they're a lot different than the United States. They're not. I love Canada. I love its... I love you can... It's just not as much action. Here, it's nonstop go time all the time. High energy, high momentum, in your face, make some money. Money sausage grinder. Every day, until you want to jump off the building... There you can relax a little bit. Groceries are expensive. Everything's expensive. But both great countries. .com. Who wins the online sports betting game? This is Charlie R. again. DraftKings or Penn? DraftKings. Easy. Joe I. Done. Joe I. Dunn. Tour picks. Good guy. Says MGM. Chris Daniels. I want to get to this question. This is a good question. Because he had said something else. I think it was him. Over the weekend. Chris Daniels, Chris DayOKC 405. I'll jump over this question because I think it was Chris over the weekend had a better one. May not have been him, but I'll give him credit. he said, or someone said, that looks like Chris, said, do you follow every time that Dottie Pepper and Jim Nance interact, they have to say each other's names? Now that he's pointed that out, I cannot unhear it. And you won't. They cannot finish a sentence to each other unless they say Jim or Dottie. It doesn't matter what they say. And I don't know why. I think it's maybe a directional thing, like I throw it back to you. Or they're having an affair low-key. They're trying to cover it up. Be super cool about it. Big Easy. Will the $100,000 stipend inevitably paid to each player bankrupt the tour? I guess they're giving a $100,000 stipend to everyone who gets COVID. I will take COVID for $100,000. By the way. Nagels Bagels, final question. How is your family, Matt? Thanks, Nagels. My family's great. And I think a lot of people have gone through a lot of disruption with children, especially, and school over the last few months. And it's been scary and crazy and unhinged. But, at least for us, it has brought a bigger bond together between the kids. You realize that you need less distractions in your life. Some of the things you thought were meaningful were just that, distractions. You spend less, you want less, you do less, you simplify. The family becomes a tighter unit. That's the bonus of all of it. So thank you, Nagels, for that question. All right. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Let's talk to our DraftKings winner. All right, last week's winner of our DraftKings Elite Contest, MJ_Perk on Twitter, Michael Perkins. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Usually I'm the late one, like 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, sorry.
You're late.
Like I said, I've basically been en route traveling from Nashville, Tennessee to Washington, D.C. So just got here a little bit ago and glad you were able to hold off on recording for me.
Hey, man, anytime. You are a financial analyst in Nashville?
That's correct. Yep. Financial analyst. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you want to know the percentage of financial analysts that win this contest?
Probably more than 20%. I don't know.
More than 90%?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more in the corporate finance side, so not in the investment banking per se, but I do follow your stock tips from time to time. So.
Oh, shit.
That's why I'm living out back behind the 7-Eleven now, but yeah.
Yes. Recently, I did not predict this market pullback.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... A little quicker than I expected, but
I think it's got some more pullback too. Let me ask you this. You won last week. Did you win anything bigger than our contest?
So I did not. I was looking really good going into Sunday, and it was kind of weird because I kind of split the way I manage my bankroll each week. I do about 60% in the full week contest and then about 40% in showdown and weekends. So I usually get to Sunday, and I don't know who the hell I'm rooting for at that point. So it's kind of, I know in your contest I had DJ and Xander, for example. Other contests I might have had Rory and Rom. So kind of it took me until about the back nine on Sunday where I was like, okay, I'm pulling for the Wiley lineup with DJ as the anchor. So, and it came through for me, so it worked out.
The simple answer to that question was there anything bigger than our contest? No.
No, I mean, I put it in the Millie. I put it in a $3 contest. I think my return was $200 maybe on like $30 of entry. So didn't take anything down, didn't take anything huge down with it, but can't complain about a profitable week.
Have you looked at Rocket Mortgage?
I've taken a little look at it. So, I know it's a par 72. some things that stuck out to me: long par fives, a couple of longer par threes. I think I got to go back to my boy Doc again. I didn't have him in the lineup that took down your contest last week, but I've been riding Doc, Hovland, EVR, and, you know, Patrick Reed's kind of my go-to staple. I feel like I get FOMO if I don't play Patrick Reed. So that's kind of my core four at my first look, but that could change come, you know, Wednesday night.
I think Doc will be really highly owned.
You're probably
but I
right.
really think he could win.
Kind of just my gut feeling on it, looking at, you know, kind of a weaker field and just the history of this tournament and the short history that it has. You know, I kind of expect a long shot or an off the radar guy. So us hardcore golf fans, no Doc Redman, you know, we play him in DFS, but you know, my dad doesn't know who that is, or that your average golf fan. So I think it's going to be somebody like that. I'd love to see Doc win, Hovland, EVR, like I said, somebody like that.
Who's way down the off the radar that you think might have a shot? As I take notes,
I wouldn't put too much stock in what I say. I feel like I'm on the precipice of something big, though, because you asked me if I took down anything big. So if we go back a week before the Travelers, I was actually in fifth place in the Millie Maker on the back nine on Sunday with one of my lineups. And I had a sweat going. It didn't, you know, it didn't come through. And then this week, you know, with Travelers, I won your contest. So hoping to carry that forward. But to be honest, like I said, I haven't looked too far down the odds board to see who are some off the radar sleepers. I actually played Phil Mickelson in a lineup last week in the Millie Maker, and you know, Pat Mayo, no offense, I know he shot him down on his preview show. So you know, kind of off the radar play, but I haven't nailed that down yet for this week.
Is your strategy, because you're somewhat actuarial, I assume, you seem very buttoned up, financial and smart and balanced with your budget.
Right.
Do you do pricing models in terms of low owned, value return, badly priced? Is that what you're looking at to win?
It kind of depends week to week. I mean, what I try to do is the guys that I have, you know, my gusto about, that I feel like, okay, if I think this stud is going to do well this week, I'm going to play him regardless of ownership. Looking further down the board, I like to identify at least one or two guys, looking at ownership percentage, that I think this guy is going to be 0.9% owned or 1.3% owned. So I think that guy this week was Brandon Steele. So I had some conviction about him on, you know, some models that I ran, popped in some of the key stack categories. So Brandon Steele was a guy on my radar. The week before, like I said, it might have been somebody like Lonto Griffin, or I think it was Kevin Streelman. So I played Streelman the week before. He missed the cut. And then this week at Travelers, he popped for a top five. So I wouldn't say I go overboard on that, but I do try to nail down one or two plays that I think if this guy gets a top five, like, my lineups are going to crush, you know, this week.
I hear you.
Notice I'm not tipping you off for next week, so don't want to get give out anything.
Well, my low-owned genius play Wednesday at 1 a.m. was, or Thursday at 1 a.m. was Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, that was.
And Wyndham Clark, strokes gained approach last week, boop, 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 negative 2.33.
Yeah, it's
bang.
Never good to go after the hotel chain manager, you know, like Mayo always calls the inventor of basketball. I think of Wyndham Clark as just Wyndham Hotels, you know, so, and a low rent, try to avoid at all costs if I can, so.
God, Michael Perkins. All right, man, I appreciate you coming on and taking your time to do
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And
good luck this week. I've taken copious notes
from
you.
And I do want to mention one more thing. So last week was the first time I've entered your contest this year. I entered it a few times in 2019, never had any success. And honestly, it's just been filling too fast. So, you know, I try to get in early if I can, but I've missed it a few times. So definitely going to get back in this week and try to see if I can go for the repeat here.
Right on. It's 300 now, so get in quick.
Yeah, I'll get on that right now.
Thanks, man.
Yep, good talking to you. Thanks for having me on. Cash rules everything
around me. Queen, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
Ryan, what did we learn last week?
What did we learn last week? Rory has flaws.
Is he the worst? Best? Is he the worst putting of the top tier talent in the world?
I guess over the last year he's been better, but you definitely have no confidence when he's putting. I think the issue with Rory, I mean, maybe it was that he was chasing and didn't care, but I mean, he just hits some really bad and errant shots. You know, he'll short side himself. He'll hit a ball in the water. He'll hit a ball out of bounds. And it's like, all right, thanks.
Yeah. I think out of the top five in the world, DJ, Brooks, JT, Rory, was it Rom now? Rose, Tiger?
Yeah, Rom, yeah.
Easily the bottom of that list for putting. The course, very lush, way more undulating than I remember. A lot of very hilly, at least on the front nine. Wind, problematic at times, but you can play both ways, right? You can play A to B to C golf or bomb and gouge. And you could not have more polar opposites with DJ and Brendan Tort on Sunday, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have a point there. I just wanted to raise that for next year in case
Brendan Tort.
Brendan Tort. I think DJ's footsteps are pretty loud. And I think that even without a crowd, it's really tough to keep up with a guy. I forget what hole it was, but remember when he outdrove, well, Todd took 3 wood and DJ took driver. And DJ was in the rough about 100 yards ahead of him.
Yeah.
And approached it to 8 feet, and Todd was got quad.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I think that was super unexpected because, you know, he was so consistent all week. He hadn't missed a fairway. He still hit the fairway, and then he, you know, made a triple.
This week, it's different. Well, it's a Parklands course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Welcome to the PGA Tour. Treeline Parklands course, thick rough. And it's no different with the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Mike Miller's notes from greensquare.golf. Greensquare.golf, Ryan, for all your course form, historic form, on every tour around the world. Brought to you by Ryan Bear.
I'm currently on greensquare.golf, so.
I'm on there too, right, meow. The course, Detroit Golf Club North Course, this used to be played in Potomac, Maryland, the Quicken.
Mm-hmm.
Which was also a tough course, which I remember both Kyle Stanley won, and then Franmo won by a million. Back, when Franmo is Franmo, when he was in that mode a year or 2 years ago, he was absolutely untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, he was gaining 2.5 strokes per round on approach, and that particular week, he also made everything that he looked at, so.
Does he golf anymore?
No.
Yeah. Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari don't golf anymore. The course, though, is a 15-minute drive north from Detroit City Center. Donald Ross, another Donald Ross course. Last week it was Robert Ross, right? Or Ronald Ross?
Ronald Ross. Yeah. Redesigned by Pete Dye also last week.
Yes. Par 72, 7,300 yards, very flat, unremarkable. Mike thinks it's unremarkable. That means he thinks it's shit. Tight, flat, tree-lined suburban parklands. Intelligent bunkering. There are 87 of them. Just one water hazard. The rough can be a mean 4-inch bluegrass. Someone said they play bluegrass. Don't mind that rough. I agree. But I just left that area. I stayed in Port Huron for a day. I've been up in Canada in that northern hemisphere for a month. And there's been a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's 4 inches, it's pretty gnarly. Smallish, average size-ish greens, 5,000 feet, about the same size as Travelers. POA, bent grass, 12 stimp, key metrics, total driving, greens and regs, scrambling. Welcome to the PGA Tour. Primarily a plotter's track, but all accurate distance off the tee will help. Last year's winner, Nathan Lashley. And he...
by a lot.
But, and we expected the Sunday fade from Lashley, but he played a lot like Brundin Tort and won by a million on Sunday. Untouchable. I think he gained 5 strokes putting.
So, yeah.
Anything to add there, Ryan?
He didn't even play well. That final round, I think he shot maybe 1 under or 2 under or something, but he had a couple very low rounds in him that week. I think there's a lot to take from last week. While it's not in the same area, not quite the same course, I think they have some similarities. In terms of bad drives will be punished a little bit more than usual. And obviously, we can't bury the lead, but this is a remarkably weaker field than what we've seen each of the last 3 weeks, which opens up a lot of things, because if you don't think Bryson is going to win, quite a bit of value out there, both in the betting market and on DraftKings.
There's about 7 or 8 guys over 100-1 that I think are very viable to win. And I think that if you want to fade Bryson, you can leave a lot of money on the table. Mm-hmm. And play a lot of guys in the 7s and 6s and win. I did a model, TM. Actually, let's go to last week carryover, because it really helps week to week. All 4 days last week, approaching tee to green, Hovland was amazing again. Putting is his weakness, but tee to green, he is top on tour right now. Tee to green last week, all 4 days. Hovland, the good doctor, Redmond, Siwoo Kim, had to save it for a week. Siwoo Kim could not do it at the Heritage. Tyler Duncan, your guy, Brundin Tort. Approach, Wes Bryan. What the hell? What the hell was with Wes Bryan? The guy could not hit a ball a year ago. Now he leads approach last week. Victor Hovland, Lucas Glover, like it this week. HV3, Patton Kizzire. Now, the key one is, because this seems to carry forward to Thursday from Sunday. Day 4, Sunday last week, top five tee to green, Gordon, player. Doc Redmond, player. Lucas Glover, back. Hubbard, automatic play. He is the Steve Stricker of his generation. Victor Hovland. And then approach, Richie Wierenski. Sneaky play of the week.
Maybe.
Wes Bryan. Do you agree?
I like him a bit. I know Ben Coley wrote him up, and I assume that means others will find him as well.
Wes, Gordon, Doc Redmond, Victor Hovland. So a lot of names repeated.
Yeah.
Do you think it carries forward this week?
Yeah, I do. And I also think with the weaker field, you have to look at the high caliber players who maybe were not so good last week, looking at guys like and even Patrick Reed, although he had a very good final round. Reed was pretty mediocre throughout the week. I think those sorts of guys, Scottie Scheffler missed the cut last week. I think there's a lot of bounce back candidates.
All right. I did a model TM. I think I weighted it the same for the last 3 weeks. RBC, mm-hmm. Charles, Travelers. Scrambling, birdies are better. Par 5 scoring, par 4. Tee to green approach, around the green, off the tee. In a different secretly formulated weighting. The results are interesting in that Tyrrell Hatton is number 1. Now, not many people are playing better than Tyrrell Hatton. And I'm very surprised to say that on the PGA Tour. But this course actually would seem to fit him very, very well. He hits it dead straight, and he is a extremely good, if not elite putter. Hatton, Webb, Bryson, Hideki, Reed, M, Scheffler, EVR, Finau, Munoz. That's what the model spit out, TM.
I like a lot of that. Yeah. So, I mean, real quick, I mean, what are you doing with Webb? Just kind of going off of last week. He obviously withdrew. He had a relative, I think, who had COVID. And I mean, like, where do you go with that?
You know, what you really want to know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely kicking him to the dumpster. Hard fade.
Yeah. It just seems like a perfect course for him, a spot where people aren't going to play him. So that's my concern. But
yeah, I mean, he'll lose, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I don't agree with you with, I think you said Finau. Did you say Finau?
The model said Finau. I did not say Finau.
Okay, yeah, you're not doing Finau.
Finau destroyed me last week.
Yeah, no, that was painful. But no, we're not doing Finau quit yet. Hatton.
Ever again.
Hatton is the one that I'm a little torn on just because, you know, we have some rules. And I think Hatton is just – he's that guy that I love to play in the mid sevens, you know, 50-1, 60-1. And now he's like 15-1 and he's $11,000. Like, I'm just not sure I can swing that. So he's probably going to be one of the guys who I have to cut from the top.
But is it a pivot, Ryan, from Bryson? Bryson will be owned what? 40, 30%?
I mean, I would say 25 is probably, you know, probably a good number. You know, I think it's just, are people going to get comfortable with guys in the mid sixes and low sevens? Because they want to play, you know, Bryson Hovland or something like that, Bryson M, and then stack the low 7K range. They're going to go Bryson and then drop down to like Redmond Glover and go a little more balanced. So, but they're going to play Bryson, yes.
I think that here's my sort of eyeballs for the range is did Poston have COVID, by the way?
Poston did not have COVID. He just doesn't like that golf course.
Okay. Let me just type something in here. Beep, boop, beep, beep. Okay. I just made a change based on information, Ryan. In the 10 plus super range, Hatton is attractive. Bryson, you could probably lock in 100% and still have a really good team. The nines, M, and dare you do Fowler? Buyer beware. In the eights, Doc, 50% owned. JT Poston, I love Adam Hadwin. I can see Adam Hadwin winning.
He's getting a little popular. I mean, I played a ton of him at Harbortown, and he was pretty solid. And then every day, his irons just got progressively worse.
Yes.
I didn't love to see that, but yeah, I mean, weak field, kind of accuracy course, I could definitely see him doing well here.
Anyone who wins at Copperhead for the Valspar, I think is an elite golfer. Paul Casey's in that category too.
Yeah. I think the other thing with Hadwin too is, I mean, he's such a good putter. And if you're not getting a plus 2.5 or plus 3 strokes gained putting week, like he's just not going to do well because he doesn't make enough birdies.
Sevens. Maverick, there's a lot in the sevens.
There's a lot.
Roach, Hubbard, Maverick McNealy. Hubbard is just, again, he's the always play Stricker model. And then what do you think about Brendan Todd at 78? I mean, is that a little undervalued for Todd? I mean, he never misses a fairway.
I mean,
it's not like his game's going to fall apart the next week.
No, we've definitely seen him carry form week to week. It's just a matter of how he's going to respond to stuff like that. He's not my favorite just because I think there are a lot of other plays here, but I would expect him to probably make the cut and be somewhere around the top 20, 25.
In the sixes, Lonto, Lashley, that's a very bad play, and your guy, Ryan Armour. Thoughts?
I don't play a lot of Lonto. I was happy when he was playing poorly. So I'm not quite ready to get on that yet. I did have interest in Ryan Armour when I kind of looked at it, but then when I dug into last week and saw that it was really all putting and he's historically not a good putter, that gives me some pause. So I think, again, when I look at these punts, I'm going to look at guys who have been better ball striking. And I know you already laughed at me, but Patton Kizzire was near the top in strokes gained approach last week. Wesley Bryan was number one in strokes gained approach last week. So Kyle Stanley was up there. Like, those are the guys that I'm going to target this week.
You know what Lonto Griffin does well? A lot. He's like an Adam Hadwin. He's a very efficient player.
Yeah.
Tee to green, and he's a very good putter and has good short game.
Yeah, I mean, Lonto's just one of those guys who, like, I missed the boat on, and I just don't feel like I'm ever going to catch up. So I'd rather just stay away.
That's me with Nick Watney, Harris English, Hudson Swafford.
Yeah.
Can't play. Or Chesson Hadley. Can't play. Ever. The value side of things from the model standpoint in terms of its predicted value. Hoagie, Lonto, Hadwin, Hubbard, Munoz. Seabass has not been playing great, but he can put up a ton of birdies.
I was looking into him about an hour ago. He definitely makes sense here. My concern with Munoz is he's been putting really well lately. Now, we've seen him get streaky with the putter, but his short game has been abysmal. I mean, losing 1, 2, 3 strokes per tournament with you around the green. And I just think that's so important this week that I don't want to tilt that. So I'll probably look elsewhere.
The new segment, Ryan, I haven't prepped you for this. Who's going busto? Who's going to be very popular and go busto? And I'll tell you mine, because I saw his price on Bovada. And again, I mean, I have Hadwin, Todd, Lashley, Roach, Redmond, not under 100-1, but Hubbard, McNeely, Armour, all over-ish, 100-1. And Bazendehut, 66-1.
Mm-hmm.
And 8,300?
Yeah.
I mean, explain that to me, because we know him from the Euro Tour, which he was pretty okay. I mean, he won a tournament. He played well in one or two tournaments in the PGA Tour. He's a nice guy, and his backstory is great. But he wasn't really great when we were playing him on the Euro Tour. What's the deal? Explain it to me.
He's streaky, for sure. You know, when he was playing well, he had very, very good irons, but also he's good around the green. He won at Valderrama, which, of course, is a short, narrow tree-lined track where you have to have a good short game. So in a vacuum, I think he fits here. But again, I do agree with you that he is overpriced. Now, he'll probably be 4%, 3% owned.
No way. Not based on 66-1. Well, he opened that way.
Yeah.
He wasn't that down.
But that is for GPPs. And I mean, if you want to do something different, like, that's the area. You have Bazendehut, you have EVR, you have RCB, like those kinds of guys who can pop up and get a top 10, top 5 here. If Bryson fails, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's my eyeballs model. Doc Bryson Mav, Roach Reed Hovland, Hadwin Hatton Poston Hubbard. And I think my top two are Hovland and Doc Redman.
Mm.
I said it on Sunday. I said Doc Redman wins Wednesday. Remind me he wins on Wednesday. He can't win on Wednesday because they haven't played yet. But that's my winners.
Yeah, I mean, you've been pretty good with the early calls. At some point, it just feels like Redmond has to fail. And I mean, I'm going to bet on it when he's shortest odds he's ever been, highest price he's ever been, most popular he's ever been. I mean, if there's a time to fade him, it's now.
Oh, you're shorting Doc Redman.
Shorting Doc Redman, yes.
Wow. Someone in our text group is not going to be happy about that.
And I mean, part of that too is, I just think there are other really good plays there. I like Lucas Glover. I've been on him the last 3 weeks. I really like Rory Sabatini. And I would much rather play those guys over Mr. Redmond.
Very chalky Doc Redmond.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the highest owned? Probably him.
I mean, it depends how the lineup shake up. Because again, if people go Bryson Hovland, you really can't play Redmond. So they're probably going to go Bryson Redmond or something like that. I would say one of those three, Bryson Hovland or Redmond will be the highest owned.
Patrick Reed's interesting.
He is. You know, when he has a hot round like that, he typically carries it over. And he was near the top five, top 10 here last year, right?
Tony Finau, 9,300 in this field and a course that he can destroy. And in a normal, if Tony Finau had a top 10 week last week, he's plus 10,000 easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how pricing works. There's your value. There's your Colin Drew pivot. Find the value. Game theory right yeah. there. Tony Finau. There's your pick. I just figured it out. That's it.
Yeah, I mean.
Tony Finau wins.
So we didn't even mention Fowler. Sponsor's invite. Mm-hmm. Played okay here last year, I believe. And he's just been so bad. But no, I mean, Finau. And I mean, you know more because you played him last week, but it seems like right now he's not doing anything well. He's not taking advantage of the easy birdie holes. He's not really hitting fairways. He's not putting well. His irons aren't good. So I just don't know how he's going to contend at a course like this where you're going to need to make 25 birdies more potentially.
It almost seemed last week that he didn't want to play the weekend. It really felt you can sense some players who just want to say,
yeah.
I don't want to get COVID this week. I'm just going to go to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It really felt like he wanted to make a bogey to get to minus three.
He knew what the cut line was going to be. Yeah, he's obviously interesting. But again, like in a week where you have to make a bunch of birdies, I want guys who are hitting their irons close to the hole and guys who are putting well. If you're doing those two things well, like that's why I'm going to play Patton Kizzire. I know he's not that good, but I think he can get away with some errant drives here. His irons are good and his putting is good. So like that's the kind of guy that I'm going to target this week.
Who wins though, Ryan? One guy.
Hideki?
Jesus Christ.
I know. We didn't even mention him. We kind of skipped that range. But he was originally one of my top GPP picks just because I think he's a little bit overpriced in this field. I think he should be more like 95, 96 where Fowler is. He's coming off a missed cut where he was super high owned for God knows what reason at Harbortown at a course that, you know, it definitely didn't fit him. He's played well historically on courses like this, you know, up in the Midwest, like I think of Firestone and some other stuff. But I just think his ball striking was still fine. He just putted abysmally. And I think he's going to be one of the lowest owned guys in this range. So great DraftKings play also has winning upside. We know that. So, he's my pick this week.
Okay. On the count of three, name a player that we have not named that's totally obscure playing this week that no one will be playing less than 1% on. You got a name in your head?
So less than 1%, nobody's playing?
No, less than 1% probably owned. No one's talking about him. Totally obscure name that no one will mention. You got a name in your head? Completely random off the wall that everyone won't even play.
Okay.
Three. You get to say the name at the end of 3 seconds. Ready?
Yep.
Three, two, one. Lucas Bjerregaard.
Jason Duffner.
Oh!
I'm not playing Jason Duffner. I just want to be clear on that. But he'd be, you know, he has fairways and greens. I think of Brendan Todd and I'm like, oh, kind of like Jason Duffner. Yeah, I should have said Chapel, but I think people will play him now.
What happened to $9,000 Lucas Bjerregaard at one point?
He couldn't break 80 for like 9 months. But yeah, it's sad. You know, he's definitely one of our guys. We didn't mention Kurt Kitayama when they qualified into this event. That could be fun.
He's a ton of fun.
He makes birdies.
Yes, he does.
He can't chip. Irons aren't great, but he bombs it and he can putt all right. So I could definitely see him shooting one or two low rounds here.
And he has absolutely zero quit in him.
None. Yeah. Very interesting. And then next week we have Eurogolf back, right?
Austrian Open.
Now it's funny because Adrie is here and Schwab is coming here. So both of them will not be playing in Austria, which is kind of disappointing.
Adrie's here for what? The Corn Ferry?
Yeah. He's trying to Monday qualify. He shot 66 today, but he didn't get in. I think last week as well, he shot 4 under and he didn't get in. Andrea Pavon is here also. He lost the playoff today to get into the PGA event. He shot 4 under and then lost the playoff. So yeah, I mean, most of those guys are here because they are in one or two of the majors. Most of them are either in the US Open or the PGA. So they're just trying to get here early, kind of do their quarantine, play a couple events if they can and get ready for those.
Is Thomas Peters here, Ryan?
I don't know if he qualified for anything.
Well, he's playing in their first Euro Tour event, and you know how much I love Thomas Peters.
Yeah, he and in Austria, why not, right? But I doubt he's in the top 70 or whatever it was to get into the majors. So,
no. All right, man. Avoid COVID.
Yeah, see, this was fun, and let's have a better week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that's it. Until 152. Who are we going to win? Who's going to win this week? Who are we going to win this week? We're going to win nothing. Doc? Hovland? Hubbard? You could do a full H team with this. You could probably figure out who they are. I'm going full H. Only matter of time before Hubbard. The Steve Stricker of his generation wins. I will talk to you next week at 152. I've been drawn into your